Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and of course, a happy and prosperous new year. And as Brother Hagin used to sign all of his letters, may God's richest and best be yours. We have a really good contingency for people who have stayed up late last night. I was forced to stay up. I have four of my 10 grandchildren here. And I was so blessed because one of them brought elements for us to take communion right at New Year as it came in here. And it was a blessing to be with them in doing that. And I want to give kudos to Alaska, Hawaii, for getting up so early. And, of course, always Washington and Oregon and California, you who wake up so early, Nevada. And we're just thanking you for being here, thanking you for all of you for being here. I love it when our 13 colonies are represented, our first 13, Delaware and Connecticut and others of you. We just thank you for coming on. And Israel, I heard Israel was there. So I know the difference between Israel. You didn't stay up late. Well, you may have stayed up late, but it's not a late hour for you over there, or an early hour, rather, let me say. But, of course, if you are on this line and you are cognizant of what goes on in the Middle East, then you have been watching something all this week. And I've been watching it so very closely. I've been watching it so very closely because I've been watching it, for one thing, with Max. And as he has heard from the Lord. And I'm not going to go into all the detail. Tony and Brenda are on here. We went over all of this last night. But he had a series of visions that started in the middle of November. And in each of those visions, Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee sitting on a bench. And he knew that that bench was one that Jesus had made when he was a carpenter. And in the first vision, which was the middle of November, it was early morning hours. And the other five visions that came, the sun showed the progression of the day. And the last visions, it was nighttime, and the only light they had was the fire of a bonfire, a little bonfire that was lit there. And in these visions, the Lord said to Max, I am coming at the end of the day. I am waiting for my Father. And so the last vision showed it was the end of the day. Well, with or without the visions, I know in my spirit, and I know with the things the Lord has shown me, starting with, and I think I shared with you, what I saw at Larry Ollison's church 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, the new year that began as God sees the new year, that we were really entering into a time of transition. Now, another thing that was told to Max was the war has begun. And this was, he shared with me something so specific, which I'm not going to share on this line. But 2 days later, after he shared with me what he had heard, we saw it happen in the news. And that was the fact that the United States used facilities in Jordan to make an attack with our fighter jets, to make an attack on Iranian facilities in Syria and Iraq. So that started off some things that have been happening. And I'm going to read you first an article from the Debka file. Iraqi Shiite supporters break into U.S. embassy compound in Baghdad. Now remember, Baghdad is Babylon. And remember that when the U.S. went into Iraq and established a pro-U.S. government, you might say. Iraq itself, when people drew the lines, Sykes-Picot Agreement and other things, when they drew the lines and the boundaries of the Middle East, they often contained peoples that did not get along within the borders of a country. So Iraq has a large Shiite area, and that Shiite area is very against the Sunnis and Kurds and others in the area. So the Shiite supporters, after the United States retaliated, and we were retaliating for missiles, and we were also retaliating because Tehran from Iran, they have launched, let's say in years past, the missiles that have been launched out of Hamas by the Hamas out of Gaza, the missiles that have been launched out of Lebanon have been like scatter shots. But now, guided missiles that can hit an exact target are being transported into the Hezbollah, into Hamas, by Iran. And the United States bombs. Israel has bombed, mainly, but the United States now has gotten into it, of striking and attacking these places where they would send in the guided missiles, precision missiles. So the United States did that, and they flew out of Jordan. Now, the Iraqi Shiite supporters have now attacked the United States Embassy compound in Baghdad. And this first item is from I took all of these items from the news, and this one's from Debka File. With the headline, December 31st, Iraqi Shiite supporters break into U.S. Embassy compound in Baghdad. An angry mob of Iraqi Shiite militia supporters broke into the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad on Tuesday after smashing a door and setting fire to the reception area near the parking lot. Reporters saw flames rising from the compound and heard gunfire. They set fire outside the compound, all around. So now the United States has come back on. And in that, we're going to talk about this under this headline. U.S. sends Marines to Iraq embassy as Trump blames Iran for the attack. United States President Donald Trump blamed Iran on Tuesday for orchestrating an attack on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad and said he would hold Tehran responsible, as officials said more Marines were expected to be sent to the mission. Quote, this is his Twitter yesterday, the President Trump. Iran killed an American contractor, wounding many. We strongly responded and always will. Now Iran is orchestrating an attack on the U.S. Embassy in Iraq. They will be held fully responsible. In addition, we expect Iraq to use its forces to protect the embassy, and so notified. And so now we have sent forces into that area. I have different amounts of the forces that were sent, but for sure, 750 have been sent into that area of the compound. Now, this is a very interesting. Iran, Trump said, will pay a very big price if lives are lost at the U.S. facilities. U.S. President Trump said on Tuesday that Iran will be held accountable for lives lost in attacks on any U.S. facilities. Iran will be held fully responsible. This is his quote. Iran will be held fully responsible for lives lost or damage incurred at any of our facilities. They will pay a very big price. This is not a warning. It is a threat, President Trump wrote on Twitter hours after protesters angry about U.S. airstrikes on Iraq rolled stones and torched the embassy. Now there was, I'm reading this from, this is from Devka File. A surge of Shiite militia attacks is in store for the U.S. forces in Iraq and possibly Israel too. Iran's leaders are not likely to be deterred by U.S. President Trump's warnings on December 31st that Tehran would be held responsible for attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and the storming of the U.S. embassy. The mob of thousands of Hezbollah supporters, and it was a paramilitary group, who broke into the embassy on Tuesday heralded the reverse scenario. Iran believes that ramping up the pressure on U.S. forces in Iraq will serve its interests in Iraq as well as Syria. Their belligerent stance has been motivated by three things that Devka File points out. Number one, by fighting the American threat to Baghdad, and that's what they call it, what the Iranians call it, the American threat to Baghdad. Iran hopes to find a unifying slogan for recovering the allegiance of Shiite masses who are protesting across southern Iraq and Baghdad against excessive Iranian influence in Baghdad. Now, they're hoping to unite their forces. I want to go down to get a certain man's name. And I'm not finding that I have it on here. Hold on. Bless the Lord. He is the former Iranian leader, and is the Iranian leader, of the their forces, their Al-Qud forces. And he's behind everything. My friend, my prayer partner, Lynn Hammond, phoned me some time ago that we've got to pray against this man and against everything that he's heading up. I'm not finding his name on my prayer thing that I got for you today, but the Lord knows who he is. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we need to pray now concerning the war. I'm not sure, but this is what Max heard. The war has begun. Now, he didn't know if it's the out and out fighting that this is pointing to Ezekiel 38 and 39, or if it's just the buildup, if the things are going on like in a progressive manner. And that may well be it. But whatever this is, it needs prayer right now. We're going to pray this morning for our leaders, for Benjamin Netanyahu, for President Donald John Trump, and we're going to add King Abdullah of Jordan. Because somehow he's in this by letting the United States fly from his country. So now we're going to pray for the leaders, particularly our President Donald John Trump. First of all, and we ask you, Israel, and we ask you, other nations, because all nations are affected by this nation. Isolo brahatanya nikabra tishato. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, how we thank you for the privilege of prayer. How we thank you for the privilege of coming together on this New Year's Day. We thank you for new beginnings. Lord, I'm just thankful that days begin with the dawn for us, most of us in the Western area. We begin with the dawning of the morning and we have a new day. Every day we get up. And Father, now we have a new year, a new beginning to pledge ourselves to you and to our covenant, to renew our covenant. Our covenant responsibilities. Thank you, Holy Father, that you said, first of all, pray for those in authority, give thanks for them, put up intercessions for them and supplications for them, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Father, in the name above all names, we would pray that right now, that we hear Isolomocombre te shandovrata ilivra hasote, that Israel ishene mehela barotis kodon jodogobrata lavra barasanta may have the benefits ilibrotwa ishanamokohobrata that come from our leaders following God. Oh, Father, we lift up President Donald John Trump. We lift him up to follow God. We lift him up to have his ears opened. It even says in Isaiah chapter 50 that you opened the ears of Jesus when he was on the earth, that he might be taught by you. Father, teach President Trump. Show him what you want him to do. Father, we pray over his ears, his inner ears. We plead the blood of Jesus that they would be open to counsel that comes from God and closed to counsel that comes from East Odomongamba, just simply men's minds that are not directed by God or the enemy. We pray for him to hear. We pray for Istoro Mohobandi devra sobre, Kilimantofre Belesandambre, Kiligandashko Dombrashke, Ilibrohosandili Maratishko Tonjevre, Shanomakala Maratishon de Livabalahala Baranisho de Lebita, Shirion de Livemakala Mahashete de Brotsafra Makandiete, Mashtiote, Mashtiote, Mashtiote. We lift our voices together from around the world, Lord. From across this country, Lord. Colebretania ne coho pratisha no nombre calahala bapa prasata. Cafrano cohumbra calacandanjo de gobrete, de calando de gobrate shote. Igile macaria macola de vra pro nishato de gombra caladino no coho brate de gombra clicodosche. Igile bratonia ne calabrete, le caliento, de godo de godanje de godosche, de andavra bassato le matito de gobace. Hallelujah. And Father, we lift up Benjamin Netanyahu. Istambro kolobahala babra kalakodonye teligara bashote. The government there that has been stalemated somehow has left him in the Istudimuhola babra tashka, even though it's a temporary government, has left him in power. And I'm directing to you who are also here on the line with me. Benjamin Netanyahu has announced something. Now, I don't know if it's a political thing. It probably is. Political things are going on right now. But it shows something that's happening according to the prophetic word. And this is the headline that was in the Jerusalem Post. Plans for Israeli Jordan Valley annexation moving forward. Benjamin Netanyahu has announced that he will annex the Jordan Valley. Whether or not he can do this from an interim government standpoint is debatable. But the fact that it's being put forth, and I'm sure he's putting it forth because he thinks the people of Israel would be for it. But the thing is, the big thing prophetically is Israel coming back to its land and more annexing that land away from its status as an occupied territory, but actually annexing it and presenting it to the world as a part of Israel is an amazing thing, because God has said this would be what would happen close to the end and at the end. They would be back home. He's bringing them back home, and territory by territory, he annexed the West Bank, he annexed the Golan Heights. For years and years, we've been going to Israel, as you well know. And going on the Golan, you could not imagine that anyone, let alone the premier at that time, Rabin, would even suggest giving it up to Syria. What if it were given up to Syria by Rabin, which is what he threatened to do some years ago? And what he was going to negotiate with Assad, who is the father of the present-day leader of Syria, if you can call Syria Syria anymore. What would happen if now that land were part of Assad's regime and were into this big civil war, and instead of stopping at the Syrian border right now but going right down to the Sea of Galilee, what if that were where the missiles were situated? And so step by step, Israel has annexed, and thank God, under Donald John Trump, the United States of America has acknowledged those annexes and acknowledged that the West Bank settlements are legal. Oh, folks, we are moving istorobokohombrastie prophetically. This year, 2020, as I saw it in September, we're going to be transitioning for the next 2 years. Ili Brahasa, 2 years as God sees it. Ili Brahasanta. You know, so many people hear from God on January 1st, and that's because they seek God. I often say this, if they seek God ever across the United States on the 4th of July, they'd hear from God. But the actual year as God sees it began on September 29th. That was Rosh Hashanah. And we can expect things to progress quickly. And the progression that is happening in the world, the progression that is happening in Israel, we have to have it in the church. We have to have an awakening. And Lynn Hammond called me, and she said, Billy, we've got to have something from God on this. We have to have God give us the spirit of prayer that brought about the great awakening. And Lynn prays constantly. She prays all the time. She lives in prayer. But she said, I don't have it. I don't have that we need from God. That spirit of prayer. Oh, yes, we're seeing awakening. We're seeing big meetings, especially among our youth, and we see touches of it here and touches of it there. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 10, and I didn't get this out to read it to you, but he asked for prayer, and then he prayed. You can see it so plainly in the Daniel chapter 10. You can see it so plainly in the Hebrew, but you can also see it. You can also see it in the English. He asked for prayer. He sought prayer. And then he prayed. So let us seek prayer right now from God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to listen, and then I'm asking you to agree with me, and then I'm asking you to have this about yourself. Heavenly Father, you have said in your word that we are to pray to the Father in the name of the Son. So that's what we're doing right now. We're making our petitions to you, Heavenly Father, and we're coming to you in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Daniel saw the times. He looked in Jeremiah's prophecy, and he saw that the Medo-Persians had overthrown the Babylonians. And he sought prayer. And then he prayed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're asking you on this first day that we see, and the Westerners look at years, they begin, for a spirit of prayer. The spirit of prayer that can bring in an awakening. You gave it to Jonathan Edwards. You gave it to the people that were praying before the Great Awakening preachers, Whitfield and others, started. You gave a spirit of prayer. And I do believe that you have promised, Gary Wood said it, that three things we would know before Jesus came. Three signs. A spirit of restoration. The spirit of prayer. And an outpouring of miracles. We on this line are praying people. We have joined together today. And we ask you, in the name above all names, to give us the spirit of prayer that would bring in an awakening from God. I know we hardly know what we're asking. Even as we ask it, I'm thinking, what will this mean? What will it mean to us and to our time? What will it mean to us to have an awakening? Oh God, help us be ready. Prepare us on this first day of the year that we would resolve to know God better, to know your word better, to know you better, that we might know you and the power of your resurrection. Oh God. Ilo brahaso te levam balatito, kashtianto brekelekeletita. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to ask you while you're all on here. We have an on-site. Well, actually, it's going to be in town because it's January. We're having it in town. In Branson at a hotel. We're all going to stay at the same hotel and have our classes, and I'm going to tape another session of 3BI, Shelley and I, 3BI classes in January, and you can still get into that. And then in February, we have our 3BI tour to Israel. I'm going to ask you to pray for me right now. These two matters. Heavenly Father, I am asking for my prayer, our prayer group, this 8 a.m. prayer group. Hear their prayers, Lord, for me, I pray. Make your prayers now to the Father, and I'm going to just sit here and receive. Thank you, Lord. I believe in prayer. And I believe in the prayers that are being offered up for me right now. I receive what they're praying. I receive it. I know they're praying for me spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. How marvelous and wonderful, Lord, to have the privilege of prayer. Today, Lord, today, how wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And thank all of you prayer partners. Have a wonderful day today. And as I said, may God's richest and best be yours. Shalom, shalom.